It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Borahe Army and fellow music fans, I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany, and we're the hosts of Standing BTS from the Consequence Podcast Network. We're a bi-weekly show that covers the impact and legacy of K-pop group BTS.
We mix the perfect blend of research and fangirl as we take a deep dive into lyrics during album reviews, theorize over music videos, and keep up with their current events.
No BTS topic is off limits. We welcome everyone into the conversation, whether you're a casual fan, committed ARMY, or someone who's just curious about one of the biggest music groups in the world.
Come chat with us every other Thursday with a new episode wherever podcasts are found.
Welcome to the In Defense of Ska podcast.
There's a lot of like, okay, well, you like ska, name three bands that aren't the Boss Tones.
I'm your host, Aaron Carnes, music journalist and author of the book In Defense of Ska.
And I'm your co-host, Adam Davis, veteran ska musician from the bands Omnigon and Link 80.
On our show, we aim to push back on the mainstream's negative perception of ska music.
There are so many great untold stories throughout the history of ska. The show features interviews with everyone from the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones to Fishbone, Fall Out Boy singer Patrick Stump, and the Police drummer Stuart Copeland. Join us on In Defense of Ska from the Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With, the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence, and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thanks, as always, for making your way here, checking out the series. Please do hit that subscribe button so you can keep up with all the interviews that we put out every single week. It's a new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Great way to keep up with your favorite artists and discover some new ones at iTunes, Apple Podcasts, at Spotify, Podchaser, NPR, WFPK.org, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcasts from. Subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. And that's me, Kyle Meredith, today. My guest is Malia Kreiling. We're going to be talking about the new Prime Video series called Mammals. It has her starring opposite James Corden, who's a chef, and they're married, and there's not a lot I can say about it. Because let me tell you, in the 6 episodes, I have never had my jaw hit the floor on twists and turns so many times as I did in recent memory with this series, Mammals, right here. Right from the beginning, you get... just, you know, you think you know what's going on. And then suddenly Tom Jones is around and everything goes wacky. Not because of Tom Jones, but I'm sure he doesn't actually help. It deals with infidelity. It deals with love. It deals with morals. It deals with, it deals with a lot of stuff. And in fact, that's some of the stuff that we get to talk about here in this interview with Malia as we try to talk about a series that really does explore the truths at the heart of modern relationships. Malia is going to walk us through getting her script, her first reactions that she had upon reading it, the show's ability to provide a space for conversation, as she says, and we'll kind of try to figure out who the hero might be in this story. Malia is also going to tell us about how the art of kintsugi has influenced her, as well as the music of Nick Cave and Patti Smith. In fact, there's a story about her going to see a Nick Cave show with one of the members of Death Cab for Cutie that we'll get in here as well. All that's and a whole lot more. It's Kyle Meredith with Malia Kreiling.
Hi, Kyle.
Hi, Malia. Yeah, nice to talk to you. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too. I'm seeing a photo of you.
That's as close as we get these days, but yeah,
great sunglasses.
Thank you. Well, hey, first off, congratulations on Mammals. This has been one of the wildest adventures I've watched over a handful of episodes all year long. An incredible story, and what a beautiful, beautifully acted story that you all have done.
Thank you. That's very nice to hear. You've watched all the episodes, all 6 episodes?
Oh, all 6 episodes, yeah. Oh, and then just went, no, I want more. That's exactly what I wanted afterwards.
So. Oh, that's good to hear. That's a relief to hear that.
But this is so I'd love to hear the journey, you know, up to you reading the script and everything and how it unfolded, because I know, judging from some of the other interviews that you've done, like, this is something that you all have had to keep a little secretive, especially because the plot for the last couple of years, Like, how did you end up with this role? And I would love to know what you thought when you first read that script.
Yeah. I was sent a vague breakdown of the story and then some scenes to read. And just from that handful of scenes, I could tell this was something really special. And it was a character that I felt instantly familiar with, even though I didn't have the whole story available to me immediately. And it was a very sort of instinctive reaction that I had towards it. And I just knew that, you know, I really had to do my best to try and get in the running at least. I sent in an audition with what I thought this character was, and gratefully it worked out for me. And then I got the rest of the scripts, and it was mind-blowing to read. And even to this day, it's mind-blowing to see that what was in the scripts originally is what we're seeing on screen now. A lot of the times scripts change along the way, and this was just such a well thought out piece by Jez Butterworth. So we really stayed to the original script the entire time. It was just incredible, or at least, you know, to the script that was available at the point where I was reading it. You know, right. Of course, Jez had worked on it before, but
it is one of the craziest first episodes I've ever seen. I will say that. I mean, when the drop happens and then yeah. continues to happen throughout, like that's. Like, that's what I would imagine, like, you know, for an actor, when you're taking in this script, I mean, this is, you know, must read, like, you know, just one of the great stories, you know, I'm thinking like the crime novels and everything or something like that, mm-hmm. because once you think you have a grasp on it, it all sort of flips several times throughout it. And that, I think that was the part of the second question is, what was that like for you to kind of go through here? And like, did you think you knew where it was going? I mean, how did you react?
For the first few pages, I thought I was like, okay, I see where this is going, and then it kept changing, and then by episode two, I was like, okay, I'm gonna give I give up. I do not know where this is gonna go at all. It's clearly like it's going to just be a roller coaster ride. And Jez does that so brilliantly. I mean, even today, you know, I see the episodes and I still forget some things. I'm like, wow, wow, you know, like I still have that initial reaction, which is kind of crazy, considering how long we worked on this and how well I know the script, but I still have it. And also, you know, the edit of it is done beautifully and keeps you on your toes. And it's just, you know, it's such an interesting piece to me because on first glance, it feels like this is all so extreme. And then you start to think about it and you realize this actually isn't that extreme. I mean, I know people who behave mm-hmm. this way or have been in these situations and have struggled through them and have done crazy things, you know, all in the name of love. So it's got that interesting duality for me personally.
And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. We're talking mammals. It's Kyle Meredith with Malia Kreiling. Well, let's, you know, I won't say anything that sort of isn't given away in the trailer so far, but there is some infidelity involved. And by the end of it, you know, I watched it with my wife the whole time. And of course, we're having these conversations about the stereotypes and what a man is held to versus what a woman is held to and what morals are in these situations. How much of that part of the conversation did you all have going into it?
I mean, it's definitely something that, you know, every actor had to kind of navigate for themselves. And I think we were all on the same page, honestly, about just kind of that this story is kind of unflinching in its approach to not being didactic, but rather providing a space for a conversation to take place, just like what you just described, watching it with your wife. I think that's the fun of this whole thing. Personally, I think that it's very refreshing for me to play something and to read something and to watch something even where this, you know, this character that I play is so fearless and determined to go after this ideal love that she believes in, this magical love that she believes in, even though she does it in what we consider today a very unorthodox way. she doesn't apologize or explain, and that's a tricky quality to have.
And it's like, you know, with a lot of stories, the basic tropes or whatever, you know, you have the hero. It's like, who's the hero of the story? Are you the hero of the story? Because sure starts feeling like that.
Well, I think that again, the brilliance of Jez's writing is that the hero of the story changes just like it does in real life. And also it's different depending on who's watching it and what they've been through in their life and what their perspective is while, you know, at that moment that they're watching this story. 5 years ago, maybe I would have been somebody who would have looked at, for example, my character and thought, God, she's a tough one. she's a tough one to like, you know? And then 5 years later, I'm coming from a whole different place in my life where I've made mistakes in a whole new way, and I've dealt with things in a whole new way, and I'm seeing things in a whole new way. So suddenly, you know, now I see her as a hero, you know. So I think that's what's beautiful about these characters, that there's so much space for an audience to really sort of project what they need to project on and think about things in a way that maybe will be useful or at the very least entertaining.
Yeah. Well, it sort of goes along with the lines of what you're saying here. You showed up to the premiere and you had the Kintsugi sort of tribute on your arm with the gold paints. And I just loved what you said, that because I think the line I wrote down, what you might have written down, was human but hopeful brokenness.
Yeah.
And that seemed, yeah. What did you, I don't want to put words in your mouth. How did that relate to what you're talking about?
Well, it's a little, you know, it's a little, it was a little tongue in cheek moment for me. I'm fascinated by Kintsugi. It's the simplicity of it is actually so profound, as a philosophy and as an art form. And I just thought that, you know, I was reading a lot about it at the same time as we were filming, and I kind of adopted a little bit of it in order to approach this character in a non-judgmental way. We're all fractured human beings, you know, and the whole romance of Amandine's character is that she refuses to be ugly when she's broken. She refuses to be destroyed and to let it all crumble. Again, this is all upon a closer inspection, of course, but she wants to put it back together. She wants to put it all back together. And it's, you know, it's hard to talk about without talking about the specifics of the story, but I like that. And I believe in that. And so for the premiere, I wanted to just add a little touch of that, you know, a little tribute of love to Amandine and how she views things.
Yeah. No, I loved how it all kind of intersected. I don't think I learned about Kintsugi until Death Cab for Cutie named an album after it. But once I did, that was
it's funny. I don't know if this is even appropriate to mention, but just because you brought it up, I know one of the band members for Death Cab for Cutie, mm-hmm. Zach Ray, and we went together to watch Nick Cave's concert at the Orpheum. And that's, you know, again, he's an an idol of mine you know, just kind of dealing with things like that in his music and in his writings, you know, and grief and a lot of the things that we deal with in Mammals. And I went to that concert just after filming Mammals, and I felt very like a full circle came around just listening to his lyrics and his music. And yeah, it's funny you mentioned Death Cab for Cutie now.
Well, yeah. And I know you can't see it. I have a little action figure of Nick Cave right behind me, where I'm at right now. So, and and you sing Patti Smith, by the way. I saw that. I'm so jealous seeing her.
It's been a good year for me in terms of seeing these people perform live, and just sitting there feeling so lucky to be in their presence in an audience. You know, it's incredible because they deal with all of these issues, you know, in very different ways, but they kind of deal with all of these issues, and it's great to kind of ponder and sit with.
Well, I'll tie that back into it because you know, Tom Jones of course makes an appearance. I've had Tom on here a few times on my show, and just what a great situation that he has put in with you know, portraying this version of himself. And I'm only going to throw out the big thing there. I don't know if you had any time with Tom on the set, but I'm just hoping there's some decent story with him around, because it's seriously, when we're talking first episodes and with him a part of it, you can't get any better than that moment.
I know, but I'm afraid I'm going to disappoint you, because I was in the presence of someone who had COVID, and so once again they quarantined me, and I missed meeting Tom Jones, and I am still upset about that. He's incredible, and it's very poignant having him in the show in that way, in that instance, and in that sort of portrayal of himself. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It is a fantastic story. I selfishly still hope there's going to be more at some point, because I'm left on a moment where I could take more at the end of it too.
Malia, you and so me much. Both. Yeah, yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk about it. It was really, really great.
Thank you. Thank you very much for your time and your questions.
And my thanks to Malia Kreiling. Again, Mammals on Prime Video now. Do check it out. Thanks to Malia. Thanks to you for checking out this episode and the series. Please do hit that subscribe button so you can keep up with all the interviews that we put out every single week. New and every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Great way to keep up with your favorite artists and discover some new ones. iTunes, Apple Podcasts, at Spotify, Podchaser, NPR, WFPK.org, YouTube for the video versions, or again, anywhere you get your podcasts from, subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. And then after that, head over to WFPK.org. It's where I do a show Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern. An hour full of song premieres and music news, anniversary spins, bonus interviews, Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. Of course, you can also find me on the social media sites, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all three of them, the address is at Kyle Meredith. So I do hope you like and follow along. And that does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Bye. Nice to meet you.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.